We are kicking off a brand new series called The Jesus Way, and I've wrestled with this. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. So let me just try to set this up this way. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in your Bibles, it's what we would call the Sermon on the Mount. And it is, I've heard preachers say this, and I would agree with it. If we spent the rest of our lives, I'm not just counting the rest of Scripture, okay? All of Scripture is from God. But if we spent the rest of our lives just meditating on and asking the Holy Spirit, how can we live out Matthew 5, 6, and 7? We would change the world. It's the best sermon ever preached. It's full of all kinds of practical things. And we're not going to, over the summer, this is the angst I have, is I come across these passages and I want to go deep in them, and we're not, that's probably not what's going to happen. Some sections we'll be able to, and I thought we'd be doing like a really deep dive over all the Beatitudes. If you were raised in church, you've heard of the Beatitudes. If you weren't raised in church, the Beatitudes are the way that Christians should live and often don't, which is why the world gets jacked up about the church. And I know you should never use the word should. I should not have used the word should, but I did. I'll correct it in a little bit. Hang with me. But we're not going to go deep into all of them. I'm going to read it to you, okay? And then I'm going to just present what God's given to me. And I'm so thankful for, I feel like if you're visiting, you're getting a crash course in the spiritual gifts, right? Because this is how they operate. They edify the body. And so this morning, we have prayer and worship. We have prayer and worship before we have church at the gathering. It's at 8:15 every Sunday. People come in here. We close the doors not because we're trying to keep people out. We're just trying to, if you want to come pray, come hang out with us. And we just spend time before the Lord and make ourselves open and prepared for what He wants to do, and also ready to give away what He's doing. And this morning during prayer, I was like, thinking through my points and my outline, and I was starting to get like, if you've never communicated, teachers in the room, you're going to understand this right away. You can start getting worked up in a bad way. Like, oh, what is that? Should I say it like that? Should I tweak it? I'm doing this. And as I'm doing it, Cecil, he's one of our elders, he comes walking over to me, and Cecil has like this Holy Ghost shuffle. Like, he just kind of walks towards me, and I'm like, I don't know what's coming, but it's going to be good, right? And so he just walks up, and he just put his hand on my chest, and this is what he said. The Lord just wants to tell you not to think about the words. Just tell him what God's put on your heart. You said it better, but I was like, how did he know that? I'm the pastor. I know how he knew it, but it still just catches me off guard. Like, wow, the Holy Spirit knows. And so I've got plenty to tell you, but I want to start very simply with two Sundays ago. As I was here, a lot happens in early prayer. You should probably come hang out with us. As I was over here and I was just praying, I don't know if it's a vision or I just saw this in my head. Like, you know, close your eyes and you see stuff. I saw this. In my head. Can y'all still hear me? Are we good? Okay. I won't have it go the whole time because you'll never pay attention. I saw this as I was praying, and God said, that's the church. That is the church. They are full of the wind of the Holy Spirit, and they are going crazy, and it's awesome, and it lasts until they go home after church. And then they can't figure out why Monday through Saturday they don't look or feel like they do on Sunday. And I was like, whew. I mean, God, you just gave me a pretty powerful metaphor with crazy floppy guy. What's the point? And he said, Pentecost Sunday. The point is, as long as you're plugged in, you're full. But when you unplug, you're not. And I can't speak for you. Listen, I do that from time to time. As the pastor, I come into church, and this is my plug-in. And it's like, oh, man, worship was so good. It's your breath in my lungs. And I could feel myself getting a little weird and crazy, and people are like, Paul's he's tapping his foot and can't do it at the right time. And I don't care. I don't care what y'all think, because I'm just full. I'm full. And it feels like sometimes that fullness can last until after lunch. And life does that. We leak or we unplug, and we hope that what we got on Sunday is enough to keep us inflated and moving for the whole week. Spoiler alert, it's not. It never has been. It never will be. And then we come to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. As I'm studying for this series, and I'm reading what I'm getting ready to read to you, I told God this. And I hope this makes sense to you. It made perfect sense to me. I was raised in church, so I get the whole performance thing. It's like, God, all these start with the word blessed, which in Greek literally it means happy. Like, that's a word right there for the church. For the sour-looking church. Jesus said, happy. Not, ha, 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 like, I'm going through something terrible, but I look like a maniac because I'm just so happy. No, it's like, there's happiness is part of the kingdom. Because what he's doing in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and he is saying, this is his first big message, and he's like, this is why I came. I came to invite you into a kingdom that looks completely opposite of what you're used to. You think I'm coming to get an army together and overthrow the bad guys, but I'm coming so that you can be poor in spirit and still find happiness, blessing, rest. And they're like, what? And so as I'm reading it, I thought, if these beatitudes are things that we're supposed to just now go do, then these are not blessings, these are burdens. And I think sometimes that's how we see it. Like, oh, here's just another checklist of things I'm not doing right. So I want to unpack that and show you how we do these things because we're plugged into the source who gives us the power to go do on Pentecost Sunday. And then I'm just going to give you a heads up so y'all can start fanning yourselves right now. At the end of the service, you want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? That's what we're praying about. Right? The prayer teams, they're already ready. Lay hands on you and pray. Well, what if I become crazy? I think you will. Right? Because there's going to be power surging in you. All right. Here we go. Matthew chapter 5. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. I'm not going to stop and teach all the way through this, but let me just make this quick note. A lot of people have said that the Sermon on the Mount was actually just a message to 12 people, because it says that he saw his disciples, and he began to teach them. But at the very end of chapter 7, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible clearly says that the crowds were amazed at his teaching. So he's not like, hey, y'all, let's make a little holy huddle and just have this little church service where I tell you all the kingdom truths, but they can see us but not really hear us. He's telling the whole crowd. He is introducing an entire new way of thinking and living. And again, back to the blessings and burdens. He's talking to people who are already weighed down with the burden of trying to fulfill 600 plus laws that were made up by Pharisees. They're already burdened. So if all he's doing is adding more stuff, then there's nothing about this that's a blessing. He wasn't just doing that. He was telling them, in my kingdom, this is who you are. On your worst days, this is who you are. And because this is who you are, you will be blessed. You will be happy. Tim and Laura would not want to be held up as examples, I'm sure. But the very post that Teresa shared. Here's a man who is this morning in a tough circumstance. And what is coming out of him? It's like, man, worship, y'all. Get to church, worship, engage. Like, we're seeing these things, these blessings come out of him as he's going through a tough trial. Okay, so he's talking to the whole crowd, and this is what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Just quick side note here, because we get that one twisted up. He said peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Okay? A lot of us think we're doing the right thing because we never bring up anything that could cause conflict. That's peacekeeping. Peacemaking means we have to talk about the things that create conflict. Do we not see this every day? It's an illustrated sermon in the Middle East, right? Nobody's trying to keep peace there. They're trying to make it, right? Like, let's get together, let's talk, let's make a treaty, let's do something. We got to figure this out. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. Because they'll be called a lot of other names by other people. See that? I love that about God. He's like, I got you. They're going to say bad stuff, but I got you. You're my child. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Man, I got to keep going. I want to just talk about all of them. Y'all, persecution, like people laughing at you in high school because you prayed over your meal, that's not persecution, right? But when we stand... We stand for the righteous things of God, and we get persecuted, like lose our job because we took a stand for righteousness. That's when we're blessed. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. Are y'all hearing this? You chuckling too? Can you imagine being in the crowd and like, who's this Jesus guy? And this is his introduction. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets, who were before you. All right, let's start. I'm trying to break this stuff down. This morning is the way of blessing. It is, as we look at the Jesus way, each week is going to be the way of something. And today is the way of blessing. And so I want to give you three quick points and a lot of scripture. First point, the way of blessing begins with being filled. It starts by being filled. Ephesians 5:18 says to be filled with the Spirit. And what it means in the Greek, it's a present tense verb. So it means to be filled and continually be filled. Again, back to this guy. As long as he's plugged into the power source, right, he's filled. So to be continually filled, you have to be continually what? Plugged in, right? So every now and then, every time he's plugged in, he's going to be filled. And the minute that he isn't plugged in, there is no power, he's going to be that. And see, a lot of us, we ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, it's so powerful. But we forget that we're supposed to be continually plugged in. So some of us get really smart. We're like, okay, I'll get a really long extension cord, right? And I'll make sure I have power anywhere I need to go so that I can be continually filled as far as that cord will reach. But what Pentecost did was kind of gave us portable generators. I didn't bring one of those because they're expensive. But, like, can you imagine having a personal-sized generator that you're not attached to a wall? You just I hope it's a better noise than that, but you get the idea. And you just walk. If you're corded, you're stuck. Aren't you glad we have cordless phones? We're not stuck. We're portable. Tell the person next to you, I'm a portable power pack. Can you imagine? Here, I'm just using over-the-top examples. Eating one meal per week. I mean, physically. Some of you are like, I would make it the buffet at Pizza Hut. Right? But can you imagine eating one meal and expecting that to provide all the nutrition and energy and strength you need for everything you're going to tackle for the next 6 or 7 days? If the only time we plug into the power source is at church, then that's what we're doing spiritually, right? The way of blessing begins by being filled. Imagine taking your phone and plugging it in and charging it to 100% and then expecting it to always stay charged. Going to the gas station, this would be a miracle. If you could just fill up your tank one time for the life of your car, wouldn't that be great? Now we have electric vehicles. Charge them up to the full charge and then think you never have to charge it again. Listen, these are ridiculously insane examples of what we think God can do in our spiritual lives. We ask him to sustain us over one sermon. And I didn't make it to church, but I listened to that one podcast. Hey, there's nothing wrong with one of God, but he wants you to be filled continually. How do we stay plugged in to the power source when it's Tuesday afternoon and you just walked out of your boss's office and she ripped you a new one? Am I the only one who might be leaking at that point? We leak. Some of us have bigger leaks than others, but all of us will leak. Life drains us. Trying to please people drains us. Comparison drains us. And when we look at the Beatitudes, if we see that as now I'm here to tell you to do even more stuff, that will also drain us. And what will happen is you'll fake it for a while. We do that too. We're like, no, Jesus, I'm doing all the things. Dancing with them. But there's no life. Having a form of godliness and no power, I think the Bible says that. We try to, and then we get friends to come along. Well, I can't do it on my own, but here, you pick up an arm, and you pick up an arm, and like, no, what we're missing is the actual power inside. We're to be continually filled. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 says this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The key word here is fruit. It's not something that you manufacture. It's something that the Spirit produces. I say this all the time. You get sick of hearing it. You'll never walk through an apple orchard and hear this from the trees. Did it work? Did it work? Do I have apples? They don't have to try to produce fruit because healthy trees with a root system produce fruit. Followers of the Jesus way, when they're plugged in, continually filled with the Holy Spirit, produce fruit. The point of Pentecost is to fill you and move you. Mike says this a lot. He'll talk about like grabbing a hold of the Holy Spirit is like grabbing a live wire, right? Can you imagine grabbing a live wire and just staying the same? You'd be like, right? I talk about the Holy Spirit's like dynamite. Can you imagine lighting a stick of dynamite and throwing it right there? It lands right there near Mark and then it, and then everything staying the same? No. And when that dynamite goes off, things are going to move. the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit. He produces it in us. So the way of blessing starts by being filled. The way of blessing is from the Spirit's power. It's not from ours. A couple verses. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, right? Translation means you and I can't do this on our own. We cannot do the works of God without God. We have to be full of His Spirit. John 15:5 says, apart from me, Jesus said, you can do half the things. 25%. You can't do anything. He didn't say try harder and see what happens. He said you can do nothing. And that's not him being a jerk. That's not him giving us bad news. That's actually him freeing us. Because if I know that I can do nothing apart from him, then what that means, the inverse is true. That with him, I can do all things. Philippians 4:13. You and I are no longer forced to try. We don't have to force mercy. We are merciful. We don't have to force peace. We walk in it and live from it. And he produces all of this in us when we are continually connected to him. That's the way of blessing. The third point, the way of blessing draws people to Jesus, not to us. Let's read Acts chapter 2, a couple verses from there. This is verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, that's what we're celebrating today, they were all together in one place. I guess that's because they didn't have virtual church, right? So they had to go. And something happened in that place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. I just was thinking, if I'd have been there on that day, how badly would I have been sweating, right? Like fire on my head. Man, it's hot in here. All of them. How many? All were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Even that, like we get jacked up over tongues, but who enabled that? Spirit, right? They're plugged in. He's filling them. Everybody say that's weird. Are y'all okay? Verse 6, this is what happened. When they, that's the crowd, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. I don't have time to go into this. I'm just going to mention it, and we'll maybe do a series on it later when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. But a lot of people think that if you're speaking in tongues, it has to be another language from another part of the earth that you didn't already know. And there are testimonies of people who spontaneously began speaking other known languages of people from other countries. But this doesn't say that they spoke in other languages. It says that people heard it in their language. And so a lot of you are like me, and you kind of wrestle with the gift of tongues because it sounds like gibberish to you. It might have been gibberish then. The miracle wasn't what they said. The miracle was what people heard. They heard the gospel in their own language. I'm just saying this really quickly because we've got to get out of here and keep going through the passage. But I was in a service where a man spoke in tongues, and it sounded like gibberish. And after that service, a woman came up to me, and she said this, "Who is that man that speaks such fluent Portuguese?" And I went, "Him? He did not speak Portuguese. I know enough of Portuguese, and that wasn't it." But she heard it in her language. And I was so thankful for that experience because it was like, oh, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They were given the ability by the Spirit just to speak in other tongues. And what people heard was exactly what they needed to hear. Which, if you're looking for an application, here it is. Open your mouth. Speak. Proclaim. And let God take care of what people hear. All right, let's keep going. I'll just open my mouth and read a lot of names I can't pronounce. Verse 7, utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. Don't y'all want to clap for me because I just rolled through all those names? Life hack, just say them. Nobody knows how to pronounce them anyway. They're just like, that was amazing. I probably did them all wrong. Cretans and Arabs, here's what it said. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? The point here is that when you're full of the Holy Spirit, when you're walking in the way of blessing, it points to Jesus, not to you. In what we just read, they were very clear about a couple of things. One, aren't these people from Albemarle? Like, they're Galileans. How in the world are they doing this? And what does it mean? Sometimes the movement of the power of the Holy Spirit just leaves us with questions. Like, how are they doing it? And what exactly are they doing? And how does that help me right now? And our answer would have to be this. It's the Holy Spirit. He's empowering me to do what I'm doing. I'm connected to a power source, and he is filling me. It draws attention to us so that we can point people to Jesus. All right, just about done. So the first day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit showed up, the first time the Holy Spirit showed up on Pentecost, it wasn't quiet, it wasn't polite, it wasn't tidy, it was not respectable. People would have walked out going, that's a crazy church. It was loud. It was noticeable. People came to see what was happening. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you start to bear the fruit of the Beatitudes that we just read about in Matthew chapter 5, when you live like that, people will notice. They will lean in. They will ask you questions. How is it that you're able to do? And your answer will not be, well, I went to the gathering. And I heard this amazing message from Paul. He was standing next to this really weird orange floppy thing. Your answer will be, I'm full of the power of the Holy Spirit. And he is producing this fruit in me. You'll stand out because you're walking with humility. You'll bring peace where there's chaos. Y'all have done it this morning. Won't point to you. It'll point to Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You'll hear this preached next week. Andrew Draper from the GLOW Mission, he's going to be with us next week, and he's going to preach this for us. It says, you are the light of the world. You, y'all, sit up a little taller. I'm getting ready to send you out to shine. You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others. It's good that we're here, y'all. But when church comes together, it's like getting a whole bunch of light together, and it just gets really, really bright. But at some point, it can only be so bright. The really beautiful work of light is when we walk back out through those doors, and we let our light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds. And check out what the world's going to do. Glorify your Father in heaven. That does not mean that every coworker you have is going to fall on their knees and ask Jesus to be their Lord. What it does mean is that they will see your good works and watch your good works begin to fill your workspace with the glory of God. They will see that, acknowledge it. They will say things like, man, there's something different about you. When I'm around you, it's like I can exhale. I don't feel nearly as stressed. They're all proclaiming the glory of God because that's what he came to do. You're doing the work you were made for. So we got to land this plane. Some of us, you good? Oh. You got to be ready next time. Let me turn on my bodyguard. How many of you want to take that home with you? We should have a raffle. Can you still hear me? Are we good? Some of you came in this morning like this guy with no power, right? And while you've been here, he's filling you. He has filled you. And the key this morning is this, that you walk out full of power, staying connected to the source. Here's how you do that. Prayer, worship, fellowship with other people who are also full of his power. That's how you stay connected Monday through Saturday. And then you come back in here on Sunday and we start rejoicing at what God's done. We sang about this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's where you're transformed into the image of Christ. It's terrible to, it's kind of deflating to stop it, isn't it? At least he's laying on the altar. All right. Let me get the prayer team to come. I might be the first person in history to invite people to get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit after deflating a gas station crazy car lot guy. But here we go. It would just be awful to preach about the power of the Holy Spirit and not give an opportunity for people to receive that power. And so I don't want to even overcomplicate it, right? Some of us have all kinds of preconceived ideas about what it looks like to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and is he going to make me do weird stuff? He's going to make you do Jesus stuff. And I think what we're learning in our culture is that the Jesus way brings a lot of things to people that they really want, but sometimes they might not like the way it came to them. Because when you live the Jesus way, you will look strange. You will look set apart. You will be holy. And that's what he wants for us. And then when we walk out and people see that, they'll be like, how do you do that? How are you able to glorify the Lord the way that you do, live for him the way that you do? And here's what I want you to know. Coming to this prayer team and asking them to pray for you and him filling you with his power, if all you do is that, that's great. But when you come back next week, you're going to come in looking like that. And I'm like, hey, can I get you to pray for me again? That same person that prayed for me because it was amazing last week, can you do that for me again? And he wants more than that for you. He wants you to be continually filled, to wake up tomorrow morning and say, God, thank you that today I'm full of your Holy Spirit, right? And to not be a part of things that make us leak more. It's not because we're trying to manage our behavior. It's because we're connected to a Spirit who empowers us for godly living. And I want that for you today. So, if you want prayer, just come find somebody. Is that too bold? We'll wait. I could sing a song, but I won't. God, you know my heart. Man, my heart is that believers who love you, follow you with all their heart, but find ourselves on a Tuesday or a Thursday laying on the ground like this balloon man behind me is right now. I pray this morning that you would give us a hunger to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would be able to walk in your way, not just on Sunday, but the other 6 days of the week as well. And that because of that, our culture in Albemarle and surrounding areas would begin to change. I'm asking you, God, to pour your Spirit into our bodies. Would you stand? Yeah. All right. Why don't you put your hands out in front of you?
Maybe.
I'm just going to share with you the picture I saw in pre-service prayer. And then I want to pray over you. But I saw a heart with a, had a receiving pipe at the top. I know that sounds strange. And a releasing pipe at the bottom. There was nothing wrong with the releasing pipe. But the receiving, there was a block. And I asked the Lord, what is this? What is this in your body? He wants his body whole. And it was feeling like, I don't measure up. Unworthiness, that's unworthiness. And then striving and performance. I don't want anything blocked. I want us all to be able to receive Holy Spirit. You don't have to be perfect. Come as you are. Receive from him. Receive his love. Receive his grace. Just be wide open. Can I pray that over you? And then I'll give it. Jesus, you're so gracious. You gave your life for us. You live today. And God, I'm asking you to remove the blockage. Pour. You are faithful to pour. You are pouring, you are pouring, you are pouring. Lord, you say all we have to do is ask. Lord, you say about parents, us being evil, we give good things to our kids. How much more so will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You just say, ask. That's all we have to do. So God, I break off, Lord, the feeling of unworthiness today in the name of Jesus. The feeling of not measuring up, not being enough. No more to that in Jesus' name. Lord, the feeling of the need to strive and to please you or to please people. Performance, Lord, let us be done with that in Jesus' name and just be receptive of sons and daughters. We are your beloved. That's what you speak over this house, your beloved sons and daughters. So come, receive in Jesus' name.
And do this week. I'm going to ask you to start really simply. Every morning that you wake up, would you just simply ask the Lord, say, fill me today. I leaked yesterday. Fill me with your power today. Here's why that's important. I had a conversation with somebody this week, and as we were walking away, their comment was, how do I do that? And I was like, ask the Holy Spirit. And this is what they said. And that's it? Yeah, just ask the Holy Spirit. And so an hour later, I got a text with answers to what that person's questions were. Like, he asked the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gave answers. He works that way, right? It doesn't have to happen here at an altar, but it's when we say, fill me, right? So, all right, put those hands out. Let's do it. God, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. God, you are calling us to do works in our city, in our county, in our world. And they're works that we were made for, and this is how you empower us to do that, with the power of your Holy Spirit. And so I pray that you would pour your Spirit out on us just like you did in Acts chapter 2. I pray that we would be crazy balloon people that just get people's attention so that they can receive the treasure, and that's Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, and do that. And fill us every morning this week when we ask you to. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.